If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, beginning in verse 10. Second Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. This is the word of the Lord. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we turn now to the preaching of your word, God, I pray that you will open our hearts to the truth, that your grace will move in and among us, that you will help us to see the truth of your word, to accept it, to submit to it. Father, help us to be your people. Strengthen us in your grace. Use this day. God, I pray that you will be glorified in our lives and in our church. And Father, as we go through today and every day, Father, use this word. Help us to remember what you have said here today. It's in your name. Amen. For those of you who remember, who were here with us last week, you remember that I said that last week's passage and this morning is kind of like a two-part series. They center around authenticity in the church. Last week, we were told that what's not authentic and what to avoid. This morning, Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us what we are to follow and continue as Christians, how we are to live for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's two more verses in this chapter that we'll look at next week. I didn't want to loop them into this week because I want you to see, I want you to believe and stand on what God says in his word. It's his word that is the very fabric of our life and ministry. It holds us together. And so we'll look at those two verses, verses 16 and 17, next week, Lord willing. You'll remember that this letter here in 2 Timothy, this letter is Paul's last letter. It's his final thoughts before he was to be executed. Paul is in prison, and at the time of writing this letter, he is awaiting his death. It's his final thoughts before he dies. He's sitting in this dark dungeon, looking to the future, and he's giving Timothy counsel in how to lead the church in the truth. Paul was expecting to die. As he was writing to Timothy, Paul was expecting to die for his faith. He tells Timothy not only how he should live, but what to expect. And then he tells Timothy why it's so good to live this way and to endure what to expect. You see, what's happening at the church in Ephesus was concerning Paul. News of false doctrines, attacks by imposters, led Paul to give encouragement and even warn Timothy, who was pastoring the church there. While Paul directs his thoughts to Timothy, we know that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this letter. And in that, the Apostle Paul was also then writing to us. These are God's words this morning, given through Paul to Timothy and the church at Ephesus, and now to you and I. And so we need to pay attention to God's word this morning and to understand, to really recognize and accept and embrace that the motivation for Paul was to write to the church and to tell the church to keep focused on Jesus Christ and continue and endure in the gospel. That's where I get the title for this series, Persevere in the Gospel. We are called as the church to endure in the faith, to hold on to God's truth. And our strength coming from what Paul says is the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is where we need to be as a church. Excuse me. Keep hearing the disruption. This is where we need to be as a church, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is where you need to be as a believer. Your security and your assurance in Christ and growth in your faith will not come from a buffet style of programs and events and activities in the church. It's when the church holds on to the gospel of Jesus Christ, like a person dangling in the air, and there's a rope that's hanging down, and you grab onto that rope, and that rope is the only thing that's going to save you. That is what we need to be with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if we let go of that rope, we will fall to our deaths. That rope is the gospel, contained here in the scriptures. And it's what keeps us tied to Christ. It's what keeps us from being deceived by the false teachers. It keeps us together, united in Christ for God's glory. At times, it may seem overwhelming what we face, what we have to confront and deal with. Paul says we are in difficult days. We may feel isolated, even alone at times. But as we hold on to the rope of Christ, we'll see in reality it's not us who's holding on to the rope. It's Christ who's holding on to us. It's Christ who's saving us. It's Christ who's keeping our church together and protected from the false teachings. God Himself is working in our church and in us, preparing us and building us up in order to live and to serve Him. Understand, Timothy. Understand, church at Ephesus. Understand, Redeemer Church. There will be counterfeits. There will be false teachers that will creep into the church. The translation is that they will worm their way into the church. Be on the lookout. Call them out. Protect the church from them. And we learned last week, avoid them. We're told what to stay away from. But that's not all that we're told to do. Today, Paul describes for us the importance of continuing in the true faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 14, it is crucial to our understanding of this passage as it reads, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed." Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. In contrast to the fake lives and the ministries of the false teachers and their false converts, what's different from empty religion and immoral living is that God's people are called to follow what we have come to know what is true. And we never, ever depart from that truth. John Stott, a well-known preacher and theologian in the 20th century, he said this in his commentary on 2 Timothy. He said, "Every Christian is called to be different from the world. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Certainly the pressures upon us to conform are colossal, not only from the direct challenge to traditional beliefs and morals, but also, and more, from insidious, pervasive atmosphere of secularism which even seeps into the church. We are not to be like a reed shaken with the wind. Rather, like a rock in a mountain torrent, we are to stand firm." In other words, God's people have been called to avoid the godlessness of today. We don't live like the world. We keep false teachers and their deception away from the church. We are concerned for the purity of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We focus our lives on Christ. Or as Paul puts it in verse 12, he says, a godly life in Christ Jesus. Does that describe your life this morning? Are you living a godly life in Christ Jesus? Do other people know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Because not only have you shared your faith, your lifestyle backs it up. Now, I'm not trying to call anyone out here this morning. This is for all of us. This word is for every person in this room and on the live stream. We all need to have lives that reflect what we say we believe. No one is perfect, but we need to be growing in our faithfulness to Christ and what He's called all of us to. And God hasn't left us alone to try and work it out ourselves. He hasn't left us alone to try and keep our toes on that line. If you and I tried on our own, we'd mess it up. John MacArthur, another well-known pastor, said, "If you and I could lose our salvation, we would. We would fail if it was left to us." You and I, on our own, in our own strength, cannot live the godly life. But yet God here is calling every Christian, every follower of Jesus Christ, to a godly life that's in Christ Jesus. We can't live this life on our own. But just because we hear that doesn't mean we then don't do it. God is calling us to a godly life that's in Christ, that needs grace and an explanation and an example to follow. The Christian life is a life that is truly lived out. The Christian life is not just accepting a set of beliefs. It is a real new life in Christ that is lived out in a real way. It's a life that's lived in light of the scriptures that gives us the gospel. Paul gives Timothy and the church a completely different set of standards to live by. That standard is given here. And the example is Paul's own life. And from this, we're given three aspects to an authentic life that is set on and remains on the truth of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the first point. Here it is simply. Follow those who follow Christ. Follow those who follow Christ. While many in the church have been and will be led astray by false teachers, we learned that in verses 1 through 9, they become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They were consumed with themselves. Paul says, look at my life and follow my example. He says in verse 10, you, however, and there's the contrast from the previous passage. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Seven traits as a standard to follow and live by. Seven traits as a standard to live by. How Paul puts this is important. When he says, you, however, have followed. You know all about my life, Timothy. That phrase, you, however, have followed, it means there was a close relationship between them. It's a term that defines their relationship as a disciple and a mentor. In other words, Timothy, you have been taught the truth. You have been with me and you have seen my life. You know what is most important and what I desire the most. You have followed it, and it's what you need to continue to do even when I'm gone. Now, in case you're thinking that Paul is being conceited or arrogant here, it's not just Paul, is it? Look down with me, if you will, again at verse 12. We know that all Christians are expected to live this way. Not just Paul, not just Timothy. Paul is not just one step below Jesus Christ. He would never say that. He says in verse 12, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Paul is not the one that Timothy is to compare his life to. Paul is not the standard. All followers of Jesus Christ are to live the kind of life that looks at those things. Even Paul is saying, you have followed me, Timothy. Follow me, continue to do what I have taught you, what I have shown you. But he's saying, follow me as I have followed Christ. In fact, that's what he says in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Commonly, we say, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul is not being arrogant here or conceited and saying, I'm the one you're to look at. No, he's trying to help Timothy and say, I have given you an example of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Follow that example as a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're going to live a life for Christ, you need to look for someone who is following Jesus Christ. We all are looking to other people. And if you're going to then live this life in Christ, you need to look at then who you are, in fact, following. Someone who's further down the road than we are. That's who we need to look for. Someone who has been a disciple and who is modeling what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, who is it that influences you? Who is it that you look at as a mentor? Can you say that the people in your life that you look to, that they are good examples of what it means to follow Jesus Christ? Have you considered what they share with you? Is holiness a trait in their life that you can emulate and learn from? What's their goal in life? Timothy had seen Paul in action. He had been there when Paul was confronted and when he faced difficulty. He had heard him share the truth of the gospel. There is a difference between Paul and the false teachers that he's called out. While the false teachers, they talk it up and they may even look the part, their lifestyle was completely immersed into themselves. Paul, on the other hand, was completely immersed into the gospel. He shared it personally. He's lived it. He's longed for the gospel to be heard and to be spread to even more people. He wants Christ to be adored and worshiped and loved. So Paul saying, following me, he's really saying, follow Christ. Follow after what's important to Christ. That's what I've done. He's pointing to Jesus and he says, he's the one. We need to follow people who point us to Jesus. All but one of these seven traits can be easily identified if we look at the models we follow. All but one. What a person teaches and shares can be studied and compared to Scripture. A way of life can be observed. What a person confesses and believes can be heard and understood. If a person is patient or growing in patience, it can be seen. Even what a person loves can be discerned through what they emphasize and put their time into. At least to a large degree, you can get a good idea what's important to a person, what they love. A person's steadfastness can be witnessed. The hard one to discern is the person's aim in life. All the other traits here are outward. They are virtues expressed in a person's life, in their lifestyle. You can compare them to Scripture to see if they match up. But a person's aim in life, their purpose for living, their deep desire is much harder to recognize. It's more inward. But this too can be carefully examined. You can take note of their commitment and passion for the most important things in life. Do they seek after Christ's glory or do they seek after their own glory? Are they all about Christ's victory on the cross over sin, his selfless love and the peace God gives through him, or something else? Does the gospel of Christ hold their deepest affections? The fact that Christ died on the cross to save sinners from judgment and make them holy so they will have eternal communion with him. Paul had one goal in mind. You remember what he said to the Philippians, "For to me to live is Christ and die is gain. Death is gain because I get Christ. While I'm here, I'm going to preach Christ. I'm going to live Christ." He also said in Acts 20, verse 24, "I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. We need to follow people like that. We need to have mentors in our life that are like that. They will give us more Jesus. And that's what we need. Before I move on to the next point, I want to take this first aspect and I now want to flip it around. I have emphasized who you need to follow, the mentors you need to look for. We need to also to consider if we are the type of people that others will follow to have more of Christ. There are people in your life today that look to you. You look for good examples who will show you the godly life in Christ, and you need to be a good example of living the godly life in Christ. Not only your lifestyle, but the one that no one else can see. That's your purpose in life, your aim in life. Does that line up with what Paul is describing here for us? Does God have your deepest affections? Is your deepest desire to live for Christ and be with Him? This aspect of the Christian life, this first aspect I'm describing for you, is like a revolving door. We need to follow those who point us to Christ, and we need to live the godly life to point others to Christ. It's a revolving door. Next, another aspect to an authentic life in Christ is those who are unashamed of the gospel will experience persecution and suffering. You will endure persecution and suffering. Again, Paul is not bragging about what he's gone through. He's not boasting in how badly he's been treated. It's not being presented like some kind of medal that he's pinned on his chest here or he wears on his sleeve. Continuing his thought, Paul says, beginning in verse 11, "You, however, have followed my persecution and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Timothy was an eyewitness to at least some of these that Paul endured. He had accompanied Paul on missionary trips. In Lystra, where Timothy was from, Paul had been stoned and left for dead. Timothy knew what Paul endured. And what Paul is saying here is that Timothy needs to be prepared to face what Paul had faced. If Timothy is going to follow the example that Paul gives, who in turn is following Christ, the example is a life that's committed and faithful to the mission of Christ no matter what we face. A life that's committed to the truth of the gospel of Christ will face opposition at some point in life. The godly life will endure suffering because the world hates the truth. The truth of Christ reveals who they really are, and they don't like that. They didn't like Jesus telling them the truth. They didn't like Paul sharing the gospel truth. They won't like it when you share it. This is another important difference between authentic believers and those who pretend. Instead of loving self, true believers love Christ. It's a love that endures. It's a love that's been given and says, Christ is worth whatever I go through for Him to be known and adored. It's not a badge that Christians wear. It comes because those who don't have grace are hostile to the gospel. And those who have grace, who have received the gospel truth, know that our gospel is the reason for our living and being here. Living for the truth invites persecution and suffering at times. But this is what is true. This is what a believer does. Those counterfeits, they love pleasure, not God. They love themselves, not God. Their well-being and ease are worth more to them than even their false claims of belief. True followers live out the cross in their daily lives. We pick up our cross. At times, that means going through persecution so that God's glory and love and purpose is proclaimed, so those who need to hear it will know it. They will hear, they will receive, and they'll at least know it. A life lived for the truth that displays the realness of the gospel is a powerful witness to the grace of God. Later, at the end of Hebrews, at the very end, we read that Timothy had just gotten out of prison. So he took what Paul said and he put it into practice. He was, in fact, persecuted for his faith. Every believer who wants to live a life in Christ will go through it at some point. And then notice what Paul says about this persecution. He says, we will be persecuted. You will suffer. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Time and time again, Paul found himself at odds with those who could not stand to hear more about Christ. And the Lord rescued him. He doesn't mean that the Lord allowed him to avoid persecution and suffering. Paul went through some real life and death moments. What Paul means is every true follower has already been rescued from the worst condition a person could find themselves. Being apart from God. And God, in his mercy and grace, has rescued his people and given them eternal life with him. Paul may have been rescued from other situations. God did, in fact, give him a way out at times. But remember where Paul is right now writing this. He's in a deep, dark dungeon awaiting execution. He's not getting out of this one. And Paul still considered himself rescued. Christ has rescued him. The Lord saved him from all of them. Paul was delivered from some harm and pain, but mainly the Lord kept him from death so he could continue the mission here, and then he prevailed in Christ to live another day in eternity. Living in Christ means you will face suffering, but you are rescued today and for all time. What the Lord has given you, no man can take away. But remember what Jesus said in John 15:20, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. This is a serious point to understand and prepare for. If you follow Paul, who followed Christ in living a godly life in Christ, you will endure some challenging days. You will endure persecution and suffering. If it's true, and it is, those without Christ are God's enemies, and it says so in Romans. Then that means anyone who follows Christ also becomes enemies of theirs. That's why Jesus said earlier in John 15:18, if the world hates you, Know that it has hated me because before it hated you. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. It's not you necessarily that the world hates. It's who you're living for. And that puts you right in their sights. The pressure of opposition is real. The Christian cannot avoid it. If we're going to live godly lives, if we're going to be a godly church, we cannot avoid it. But know that in these struggles where our faith is tested and stood strong as we endure, it is powerless to overcome. And as we stand firm in the truth of the gospel, we become together a powerful witness for Christ. What he suffered, why he endured what he did, for his love and his glory to be known. And that's the very reason why we endure persecution and suffering. And now third, the third aspect of an authentic life that lives in the truth is that it's one that continues in the scriptures. So we follow those who will follow Christ. We are aware and we prepare for coming persecution and suffering as we live the godly life. And now, the authentic life that's in the truth of Christ continues in the scriptures. In verse 14, Paul says, "Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Continue to follow what's in the Bible because it tells the way of salvation. If you do not embrace this book, if you do not embrace the Bible, you do not embrace salvation. They are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Continue in what you've learned and what you believe the Bible to say. Christ is the focus. You need him for salvation. His life is your life. His way is the better way. His love is what you need. His peace being the peace that you crave and long for. His covenant sealed by his blood, making it pure. God has accepted his life as payment. And in faith, you are covered and forgiven and made new. That's what's in the Bible. Are you continuing in the Bible? Are you growing in trust and faith in what God says? A follower of Jesus Christ accepts the scriptures, and it is in them and depends on them. You may find false teachers using the word. The good ones will take scripture and they will use scripture, but you won't find them depending on it. You won't find them submitting to all of it, all of what God says in his word. By us listening to a sermon week in and week out, even when we couldn't gather together, we made a way so that we could live stream, so that we all could hear a sermon that's based on scripture to explain to us what God says. That shows how important God's word is. Scripture is foundational to worship. Scripture is foundational to the Christian life. And it's believers who worship. So it's believers who are in the word, who need to live by the word, who share the word, and who are saved through faith because of the word which reveals Christ. The standard that Paul lays out here, and the example of his own life, outlines for us what true living for the gospel is like and what the purpose of it is in the end. Salvation in Christ. While the false teachers, the evil people and imposters will get worse in their self-love and their hatred of the truth, followers of Christ have been given the gift of real living and real love that's willing to sacrifice and walk in godliness. The gospel that we believe and live on, the one that is biblical, the one that is modeled for us according to the scriptures, the one that we model for others, the one contained here in the scriptures, is the one that is able to save us and make us wise in Christ. So continue in it. Let's pray.